Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow with just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hello guests, this is Dr. Doran, and I'm really, really excited about tonight. Because tonight I'm talking to a certified trauma specialist, Dr. Nicole Jackson. Now, what's special about Nicole Jackson besides being a certified trauma specialist? She's the founder of NSJ Consulting and Coaching. It's a firm that focuses on the healing of trauma and fostering resilience. And resilience is the way you heal from trauma, the best way, according to Nicole, but I'm sure she's going to talk about that tonight. But she's also going to talk about, she works for this consulting network, which is the umbrella for series such as Mental Health and Healing, the Let's Talk Resilience podcast, Mentoring for Business, and those healing from trauma, and trauma healing coaching. She is a trainer for people getting over traumas. Her goal is to help those who've been exposed to trauma not only to survive past their experience of trauma, but to heal and thrive. And that way, they can help others. And that is good for everyone. So Dr. Jackson got her PhD in forensic psychology from Walden University. Dr. Jackson helps foster resilience by providing the tools needed to address past or present traumas. She started her career in human services in 2001. So she has 19 years of experience. Well, actually more than that, because it's 2001 and now it's 2022. So, but she works with youth and adult populations who face levels and varieties of trauma, which range from child abuse to drug addiction and homelessness. Dr. Jackson's more recent focus has been on the resilience of women post-childhood maltreatment and their ability to sustain healthy adult relationships. Dr. Jackson has advocated for youth who face mental health dispositions, which many times was a result of trauma. Dr. Jackson's passion is to help others reach their best potential and begin living their best lives. Her motto is Resilience, a Healing Journey. Currently, Dr. Jackson is a host of the broadcast Mental Health and Healing and is in the process of developing a series titled Life After the Development of Resilience. Nicole is also launching a podcast titled Let's Talk Resilience. So obviously, according to Nicole, she's going to talk about how resilience helps you heal. Please say hello to our guest, Nicole.
Hey, hello there, everyone. Dr. Nicole Jackson here, and I am your trauma healer, resilience builder, and feeling box healer, and I help you understand that healing from trauma is not forever, but being healed is. And I'm glad to be here. How are you doing this evening?
It's wonderful. I'm in the casino right now, so every once in a while there's going to be announcements in the background. Just ignore them. That's what I'm doing.
I can't hear it, so that's good.
That's what I'm doing. I'm ignoring this. Go on. Anyway, we want to hear about what you talk about, because I'm sure you're working with people, and resilience has taught you a lot.
Well, honestly, it's not even working. How do I say? I help people get to a point where they reach a level of resilience. And let me go ahead and define that, because people, I think that word is overused plenty. But, you know, most people say, oh, you're resilient. You made it through this point, right? No. I use my innate skill to survive, because that's what we're made to do. Survive. You have to foster a level of resilience by reaching a level of thriving, right? Because resilience, in my definition, is the ability to thrive past a traumatic experience, meaning you're not just surviving. You're not waiting for something to happen. You're not still in that trauma response stage. You're in a stage, in a space where, yeah, you might have some of those emotions, but those emotions aren't ruling your day. And you're not waiting for someone to do you wrong. You're not looking over your shoulder. You're not hypervigilant, and your levels of trust have actually grown, right?
That's so good, because we all need to grow. That's the way we heal, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that's a very good thing to focus on. So how has your work with people, like, give us some examples of what you do and what they've done and how it's helped.
Okay. Well, to start, I am the founder of the Reflections to Healing Academy, where the course of study is healing trauma from the inside out. And what that means is I sit with and I walk you through with sitting with yourself, understanding yourself, understanding where you are on your healing journey, understanding where you want to be. Some people I work with, they haven't even started. And some people, they're in the middle. And some people, they've been traveling it for a while, and they're trying to figure out what does the end look like. And so my job is to be complementary to their journey. I provide them the tools and also the skills, because it's important. You can't just provide tools without skills, because if you have a hammer and you don't know how to use it, it's pointless, right?
Yeah.
So I work with individuals who are willing and ready, because you have to be ready. You have to be ready to start this journey, because it's some areas are going to be scary, some areas are going to be hard, and some areas you are going to just want to suppress. And I work with you to not do that, but you have to be in a space that you're ready to heal. And some of the results I've seen has been amazing. This when I first launched the Reflection Healing Academy, I did it on an 8-week scholarship. And in that 8 weeks, I've seen so much healing in the women that came through the academy. By week four, you could see the difference. You can see the difference in self-confidence. You can see the difference in understanding self, understanding where they are in their journey and so forth. So that's what I do. I help you come to self so that you can begin to heal on the inside and understand how you can transition that into your outside environment and your Thrive Tribe.
Okay, how did you get interested in this kind of work?
Well, to be quite honest, all transparency, I'm an adult survivor of childhood maltreatment. And I had to figure out how to heal on my own. I didn't have someone out there to tell me how I reached this process. You know, therapeutic sessions are great, but if you really don't know where you're trying to be, you can only tell your story, and then they can only give you solutions based upon what you've told them. And if you haven't done some deep soul searching, you're not going to get what it is that you need. So I figured out somewhere in my mid-30s that I needed to go within. I needed to understand me. I needed to understand what it was that I needed in order to heal.
Yes.
And I had to look back at what caused me to need to heal in the first place. That was some work because you got to deal with all the emotional pains that are attached to that incident, right? So I had to work through that. And then I had to move with intention. I wouldn't change anything because by the time I was finished, I came out with a roadmap. That meant that I could help people not have to heal on their own, not have to travel this journey on their own. So that's been my motivation. I had to do it, but why does anybody else have to do it if I have the tools and skills to give them so that they can do it more effectively for themselves?
Okay. And if you don't mind my asking, how does this kind of work help you personally?
How does it help me personally? It's rewarding. It's absolutely rewarding. It's amazing to see how people bloom when they realize how they're going to take back their power over their healing and watch them just flourish. I had a young lady who came into one of my academies, and she was so skeptical. She was absolutely skeptical. She didn't really want to show up, but she showed up. And we had a couple of, I usually do cohorts for the academy because it's about building a team and possibly building your tribe. But we had a couple of single sessions and we were able to dig deep. And she says, okay, when I tell you that she has flourished and I'm watching her, she was going through a divorce. That was hard on her. But when I tell you she is flourishing, she is growing, she is remarried. And she let me know, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. And this right here,
okay.
I'd still be trying to figure everything out, right? So it's the reward that you get. For me, it's the reward of seeing people reach a point in life where they are healed and they are happy.
Okay. And you feel this has helped your healing?
You know, I wouldn't say that it's helped my healing because if I hadn't healed, I wouldn't be able to do this work. You can't you can't do this work and still be in your own mess because you can't focus
one way or another.
Hmm?
Most of us are in one way or another.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you have to have come like. Like, you can't be, like, waiting in your own, like, I still need to heal, you know,
yeah.
kind of thing going in the direction that I'm going with people, right?
Okay.
You just can't. I can't, like, be in a session with somebody and they break down and then I have a sore spot that's hit and I'm breaking down with them and now I can't focus on... what they need me to focus on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It makes me proud, to be honest. It makes me very proud of how far I've come.
Good.
And that I have been blessed with the ability to get people, other people there.
Good. That's wonderful. So you mostly work with women then?
No, absolutely
no.
not.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
No. Mm-mm. See, you can't heal one part without healing the other.
Okay.
You can't have all these women around here healed and have their counterparts in disarray. It's not going to work.
Yes, true.
And so I'm for everyone. Well, so to speak, I'm for everyone who is for me, right? Not everyone's my assignment. I'm not trying to heal the world. But those
yeah.
who are attracted to the services that I offer, I am here for men and women.
Okay. So what made you first decide that everyone needed healing? Is that your own journey?
Well, when you grow up in an environment where you're watching men and women struggle and have never really dug deep to heal their traumas, and so they're they're pouring their trauma onto everybody else, you realize that everybody needs healing. And I don't want to focus on just women, right? First of all, if I was to just focus on anyone, it would be men, to be quite honest. There are so many programs out here for women and not enough for men.
Oh.
Right? So if I had to pick a population, I would pick the male population to work with and focus on only.
That's interesting. That's very interesting to hear you say that, because not quite what I've heard from a lot of other people.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Every time you turn around, you hear a program for women. And it's because people believe that men are not open to the healing process. And I don't believe that to be true. I believe that there is a stigma in it for men. And so it's hard. But if they can connect with the right person, they're willing to do this journey. They really are willing to open up and do this journey. But it has to be the right person. It has to be the right setting. Their level of trust, you have to build a rapport. You have to take more time to build rapport with men during this process than you really do with women.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, and some people are not willing to take that. They just take it as if men are being standoffish and don't want the process, but they do. There's just a bigger barrier and wall to break through in order to get them in that comfort zone. And if you're willing to work that, then you're in a good space with them and they're going to heal.
So do you work with men alone or men as part of families?
Men alone. I mean, they can be part of families, but I mean, men who are attached to families, men who are not attached to families, they still need the same help.
I see. Because, you don't often think of trauma healing from past experiences of men as much as you do women.
Right.
It's just the way you don't think of it that way. That's very interesting to hear you say that.
Yeah. And it's needed. I don't understand how we can think that one part of the population being healed from their trauma is going to make a huge difference. Don't get me wrong, but that's just, we're half-assing it at that point.
Uh-huh. Very interesting. So how did you know that men needed this help? I mean, because you come from a traumatic experience yourself. So what gave you the indication that men needed healing as much or more than women do?
And I'm not going to say that they need it more. I'm going to say it's probably as much, because we look at the history of things. Men are looked at and we want them to be strong, or in certain cultural backgrounds, it's a stigma to say that you're going to go get some mental health, right? And so they don't, right? So men go through things. They have trauma. They have firsthand trauma. They have secondary trauma, just like everybody else. So it's a no-brainer that they need the healing as well.
Uh-huh. Okay. That makes sense, what you're saying. Yeah, it absolutely makes sense. It's just not an inclusion most people will just jump to right away.
Yeah. My upbringing, just being around the people, being raised by who I was raised by, and being around, the people in my environment, I see it.
So, tell me something. What is the difference then between somebody who has become more resilient and someone who's just starting the journey who hasn't come to that resilience yet?
So to me, it's not even more about the resilience. It's the difference between surviving and thriving.
Okay.
So when you're surviving, a lot of times people are reliving their traumatic experience, and they haven't figured out in a lot of ways that they're not in that experience anymore. And they're confusing the emotional pain that is attached to that experience as being in that experience still. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they're very hypervigilant. They very much have the trust issues are absolutely shot. They either trust too easy or they take a long time to trust. And either one of those are going to land you in some hot water one way or another.
Yeah.
They, one way or another. You even have trust issues with yourself. You're waiting for something to happen, and you're praying every day that things don't fall apart. And there's going to be a lot of people who are just surviving, and they look happy, and they look jovial, and they look like everything's okay, but inside they're not.
Yeah.
And so the difference between surviving and thriving is that when you're thriving, you really have done the work. You have accepted, I'm no longer in this experience anymore. And I understand that there are emotions and painful emotions attached to that experience. I have acknowledged them. I have made them tangible. I have broke them down. And yes, they are real, but I know how to handle that. And that the difference between surviving and thriving is the difference between healing and not.
Okay.
So, you know, you heard me say, I tell people that healing is not forever, but being healed is.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is you don't have to heal from the same thing for the rest of your life. You don't.
Right.
Once you really put some effort into it, you're going to deal with that situation. You're going to deal with the fallout, and you're going to learn along the way. That's not to say that incidents are not going to happen that may traumatize you, but it is to say that you are better equipped to handle a new situation because you healed from a previous situation. And you're going to get through that situation a lot faster than you did the first one.
Huh.
Which is then you can be healed.
Yeah, that's very interesting to hear you say that. I mean, because that's exactly what we as physical healers, as chiropractors, tell people. No, you're going to do stuff the rest of your life that's going to put you in a bad place. But if you come in monthly and get your wheels lined up, you can get there faster each time. You're better equipped to deal with healing, the individual thing, once you've healed overall. Yeah, that's exactly what we tell people.
Yeah. I mean, and it is the emotional pain, the emotional healing, everything, right? Look, I consider myself healed from my experience and the emotions attached to that experience. But it doesn't mean that from time to time somebody is not going to hit a sore spot.
Yeah.
But the difference is that sore spot is not going to ruin my day. I'm going to be like, okay, yep. And I can verbalize that this is how that made me feel. And because I can verbalize it, I can work myself through it. I can get myself grounded. I can get myself centered. And I can move on with my day. Whereas if I was in survival mode, someone hitting that sore spot, I'm down for the day. I might be down for a couple of days trying to figure out why people are behaving the way they're behaving.
Okay, that's really interesting. I mean, because it takes a lot to heal someone physically, mentally, emotionally. I mean, there's a lot of things that are involved.
And
all
in
the
both,
have to be healed.
Right, and in both, there has to be a willingness from the person who is trying, who the healing is being offered to.
Yes, that's very true. That's very true. So I'm just looking at some notes here, and I see that you started your work in Child Protective Services.
I started my work actually working in group homes, actually.
In group homes. I guess that was pretty traumatic in itself.
You know what? That was an amazing experience, actually. That was where I, okay, backtracking just a little bit. When I was a young child, I used to always say, when I grow up, I am going to be a child psychologist because children need someone to talk to as well. They need to be able to use their voice. Okay? I used to say that all the time. And when I graduated high school, I started going down that path. Life happened. I mean, life happened. So I ended up not completing that, and I ended up going to go work in group homes where I cut my teeth in the human services field. And I worked with the teenage population. That's my population, hands down. I love it. But it really helped me understand the system from the outside, from the perspective of the people who are using the resources of the system. And so then I became community partners in nonprofit organizations throughout my community. And then I went back to school. Okay, I went back to school almost 15 years later to pursue my degree in psychology.
Wow.
So what I did was I spent all that time in the community understanding the needs of the people.
Wow.
That was my road. My road was, you're not going to have book knowledge going into this. You're going to have hands-on experience. You're going to have helped people. You're going to have felt people. You're going to have understood the emotions and empathy and sympathy before you go back and do anything else. And then I started working in Child Protective Services. And that, just as I started working there, I want to say, quite honestly, 30 days before I started working in that position, I got accepted into my PhD program.
Oh!
So... I was on the inside. I understood everything from the outside. I understood the needs of the community. Then I went on to the inside to understand who was supposed to be supplying the needs of the community and understood it from that perspective. Right? And then as I finished, I realized... You need to add something to this. You need to contribute to what the community needs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was really, it showed you who your was to work with.
Yeah, it's full circle, really.
Yeah. Good stuff. So tell me about a day of work, an average day of work for you.
An average day of work? Right now, an average day of work is meeting with clients and writing reports. That's the average day of work.
Okay. What do you do to make all that worth it?
What do I do to, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, you have to have some reason for writing those reports, some ultimate purpose that's going to do for you.
The ultimate purpose is making sure that everything is properly documented and proper decisions are made.
Does that help people get into the system, quote unquote?
Right.
Okay. So many people aren't necessarily in the system when you work with them.
Right. No, they're not. Mm-mm.
And they can find more resources to help them once they are.
Yes. Yes, they can, actually. They can. Yes.
And from your work, they can apparently help themselves see that.
Yes. You know, I always tell people I am complimentary to your healing process. I provide you the tools. I provide you the skills, but you drive the vehicle. I will be the lemon to your water anytime.
Okay. Okay. So the person has to want to heal. Imagine you find many people who say they want to heal, but they don't really want to.
You know what? It's not that they don't want to. It is that this process is not for the unprepared. Let's be honest. It's the process you have to want. You have to understand what it is that you're going to be dealing with.
Yes.
And that's self. And sometimes yourself is the scariest part. You don't want to sit with those thoughts. You don't want to sit with everything that you've suppressed and pushed down over the decades. And, right? When you enter this process, you have to know that that's what you have to do. And you have to be willing to do it, because I can't make you do it. I'm liking this, and because people can understand this, so I use this likeness. Take a person who has a substance abuse situation. And people are like, go to help. Go to rehab. I'll pay for it. I'll take you. And you can take them 5-10 times, and they're going to leave 5-10 times until they are ready to commit to sobriety.
That is the truth.
So you have to be ready. You have to know that this is what you're getting into, and you have to say, I commit to this.
Okay.
And I will tell people, if you are not ready, I am not for you right now. But when you are ready, I will be here.
Okay. And what can people do to prepare themselves to get ready to heal?
It's a decision that you come to on your own. I don't know that there's any proper preparation. You have to tell yourself that you're ready. And you have to tell, and you have to accept that it's a process, and you have to accept that all of this stuff happened over time, and it's not going to undo.
Yes, we need the healing.
Right. This is why I call it a journey.
Okay.
And they have to have willingness within self. If you hesitate after you hear what you have to do, then you have to ask yourself, are you ready for this? I can never tell you that you're not ready. I will never tell anyone that they're not ready. That is a personal decision that they have to make. And sometimes people find that out after they start. And then they pull out. And I'm like, okay, when you're ready to do this, I'm here.
Okay. Very good. So people have to realize for themselves that they need to heal, and they have to realize for themselves that they are ready to heal.
And the reason for that is that it's personal. No one can tell you where you are. They can only guess where you are based upon the information that you provided them. They can only draw a conclusion off of what you told them. And if you're not telling them truthfully where you are, then they can't truthfully provide you information on if you're ready or not.
Okay. So each person comes to this decision on their own.
Yeah.
And do people ever come to the decision they want to heal, but then halfway through it decide, no, they're not ready to undergo that yet?
And they do.
Okay.
And that's okay. It's okay to think that you, it's okay to think that, you know what, I thought I was ready for this, but this is still too deep.
Yeah, because it's a lot of emotional digging up.
Right, and there's no point in starting something that you know in your heart that you can't conclude, right? You can put a pause to it as long as you know you're going to come back to it.
Okay.
And some people might say, but you gotta pull them through it. No, you don't. This is how you re-traumatize people. You have to respect the boundaries that people are setting. They're not running. They're letting you know, I've come to a point where I need to stop and I need to process this.
Okay. Yeah, because people are in a lot of different stages, a lot of different mental processes all the time.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So have you ever worked with another psychologist in your coaching activities? With another psychologist
absolutely.
For your patients?
Absolutely. I encourage, and let me tell you, I found out that this works. Okay. I had one of my clients who had been in therapy before, and she says, this did not work for me. I said, okay, come do the program. Let's find out where you are and then pick back up your therapy. And she did. And the difference that this has made for this woman, and that she's getting ready to fire her therapist after only being back there a year. Because she was able to make such transitions and milestones in her therapeutic sessions because she understood where she was and what she needed, and she was able to convey that to her therapist.
Okay.
Right? So she's not firing her therapist for me. She's firing her therapist because she doesn't need it anymore, because they were able to really get to the root cause of the reason why she needed to talk to this person to begin with, because she knew, understood herself. And therefore, she were able to say, I need this. This is where I'm at. These are the things that I'm struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were able to work through those things even deeper.
Okay. So do you find it's easier to work with people in general who are aware of these circumstances or not aware of them?
You know what? It's easier to work with someone who is aware because they're not suppressing.
Okay.
Even if you have an inkling of awareness. Right? Some people, and honestly, can I be honest? I don't believe that there is a person who's not aware their traumatic experience and the pain and the fallout. The difference is there are people who are willing to let it ride and feel it to heal it. And
okay.
There are people who, when it comes up, they're just like, I'm not doing this.
Okay.
So I've had people who were like, I'm not dealing with this kind of people, come work with me. And then they became the, okay, I'm ready to feel it to heal it kind of person, right? Yeah. So there's still that chance, because sometimes you just need to meet the right person that's going to help you. But see, then that's where it comes to me really paying attention to their cues, right? Because I need to know when to stop so that I don't re-injure them.
Okay. And do you find that in your work people kind of go back and repeat the same kind of experiences over and over and over.
Oh, boy, yeah. 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 I do, but that's because people have found comfort in those things.
Yeah.
And it's familiar. And then, but it doesn't come without them asking, what the hell am I doing? Why am I still doing this?
Hmm. Okay.
They don't want to, but they still are. And there's something deeper under that. But it's become familiar to them. It's become a comfort to them, even though it's not really a comfort, if that makes any sense.
That's interesting.
People are scared of the unknown.
You start out with that premise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, tell me something now.
Mm-hmm.
People are so confusing and they tend to repeat the same thing, but you feel like you're making process, or you're making progress with the process of the work you're doing.
Yes, because not everybody does it, you know. Some things become a habit, and you have to actually have, well, here's this. These are learned behaviors, all right? And the one thing I want people to understand is you can't unlearn what you've learned. You can't unring the bell, all right? But what you can do is get new habits to replace what it is that you were doing in order to reach the goal of where you want to be.
Very smart, yes.
And for some people, that transition is very hard. So it's not that they don't want to do it. They're just having struggle making that transition. But if they're not even given the tools or the opportunity to do so, they never will.
Right.
So what's
your typical time that you work with a person for them to make this journey?
Say that again?
What's the typical amount of time you work with someone so they can come to these realizations on their own?
I have a 52-week program. 13 weeks is the shortest.
Okay. 52 weeks, entire year program, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's how long it takes people on average to come to the realization that I can do something about this, I should do something about it, I want to do something about it.
Nah, I want to say that's why there's a 13-week program, because by 13 weeks you have built some new habits, right? If you are really doing the work, you're going to see it early on. It's not something that's a delayed situation. You're going to see it in the beginning. Now, the question is, are you going to continue to move forward with it and use it the way that you're supposed to? That becomes the question. Right?
Okay.
When you start making, this is why it's about self, because you're not relying on anybody else.
Huh.
And everything that you're taking in, you're applying it to self first. And you're making the decisions as you go. I'm putting it in front of you, and you're going to make the decision on how you would apply it. We talk about, okay, so, you know, there's questions that are asked that make you have to contemplate on where you are in a moment.
Okay.
This is a whole thought process, because now, if you've never thought about it before, you actually have to stop and think.
Okay.
And that takes effort, and I don't know is not an answer, like ever.
okay.
So when you're putting in that kind of work where you actually have to contemplate each part that you're going through, you're unveiling some things about yourself that you probably didn't even know. And you're opening up some good things to happen if you continue to do the work.
Okay. So would you say that it almost sounds as if most people need to heal from some sort of trauma, but some people can do without any real thought or effort. Some people take a lot of different tools to help them get to the point where they can recover from it.
Yeah, and you know what? We also have to consider prolonged exposure. So the longer
yes.
you've been exposed to that traumatic event, the harder it's going to be for you to come to terms and heal the pain that is attached. Because you're not trying to heal from the event. The event already happened. It's over.
Yes.
But the residual is still there. And so if it's been prolonged pain, prolonged emotional pain, prolonged mental abuse, whatever it is, it's going to take a while. Now, there are some people who can go through something and then they're just like, oh, yep, that took me to my core. But you know what? I'm going to be okay. And they're going to move on, especially if it was like an event that was not, it just happened, right? Then there are some people who will say, well, I've never had a personal trauma. But I'm like, okay, but what about secondary trauma? Because that's real too.
Yeah.
And they have to sit and think about it, right?
Yeah.
So there's levels to this, and that's why it's so personal, because only you really know, like, where you at, where you're feeling. Do you have notions of perceived threats, you know, thoughts of threats that are not there in moments, you know? Or are you doing good? Are you thriving? Are you moving through life? And if something comes up and pops up, you might be shooken and jarred just a little bit, but not enough for it to set you back.
Okay. And that's the goal then. People get to the point
yes.
where they can have something happen to them. It's like, oh, well, you know, that happened. Let's go on.
Yeah, but not brush it off. Actually address it, right? You're going to address it because you don't want to suppress it and you don't want it to come up later and you don't want to
yeah.
have a bad reaction. You're going to address it. You're going to acknowledge it, but you're going to be like, okay, you're going to process it through. The goal is to be able to process through these situations a lot faster than you were before you got to your stage of thriving.
So this resilience then is a lifelong thing to achieve it, and then once you have it, to deal with everything that comes along with that new outlook.
Mm-hmm.
And you really think you've helped people reach that stage?
I've seen it. here's this. You can't do this work and not make connections with people. If you're
yes.
doing this work right, those people are going to want you to know that things are going well.
Yes.
And
yes,
when things are not
true.
Going well, they trust you enough to come back and say, hey, I'm having this experience. And then you talk through it, and then you move on, and that's another tool that you've given them for their healing box.
Okay. So, yeah, people go back through it, but it's not as much because they are more resilient. They have gained some resilience.
Right. Right.
And you personally feel like you have gained a lot of resilience, and that's why you can deal with all the crap that happened to you in the past.
Right. So I'm like, I'm at Super Saiyan thriving, and I'm not going to say that I don't have my time, because I do. I would not be honest if I said there are not some people or some things that just kind of take me there. But I'm like, I'm able to be like, you know what? No, we're not going to do this. You're going to go ahead. You're going to process it. You're going to release it, and we're going to move on. The difference is it's not the same thing from 30 years ago. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The goal is things that me, we're going to start 30 years ago.
Okay.
And we're going to work our way to the present. Okay, I call it the dirty laundry basket, okay?
Yeah.
Imagine you have your favorite shirt at the bottom of this lawn hamper, and you done pile everything upon it. Okay. So what's at the bottom of the hamper is what's at the bottom of the hamper is the reason why you needed to heal to begin with. Okay. And over the years and decades, you done piled stuff on top of it. Okay.
Yeah.
You need to get down there. So what you're going to do is you're going to take that hamper and you're going to turn it over.
Okay.
And we're going to deal with that. We're going to deal with the painful emotions attached to that. Because reality is those painful emotions that we're not dealing with, that were suppressed, are the reasons that you have other stuff piled on top of that situation.
Right.
So you have to deal with the first cause. In my book, I talk about onions and lettuce to describe it a little different for people. But
okay.
the dirty clothes hamper, I think, is a good analogy because people can visualize. My favorite shirt's at the bottom of this hamper. I got to turn it over to go get it.
Yeah.
My healing is at the bottom of this pile. I need to start there.
Huh. Yeah, I like that analogy. you pile stuff on top of it and just don't deal with it. And then all of a sudden, you want to deal with it. It's there under all the other stuff.
Right. So how are you going to get to it? You want to turn it over. So during my course of study, during my research study, I had this amazing, beautiful lady who had been carrying her childhood trauma for 45 years.
Wow.
And the only reason why she went into therapy was for her marriage.
Really?
It turned into therapy for herself. And she said they talked about a messy cupboard. So here's another analogy for you. The messy cupboard. When you get ready to deal with the stuff, you're going to take everything out. You're going to fold everything up neatly. And you're going to place back in everything but the one thing that you want to deal with now. And then eventually your cupboard is going to be empty because you're going to take things out one at a time. And she told me at that time, her cupboard was halfway empty. So that's a way to make things tangible and to be able to visualize the fact that you can get through this and you can heal from those things. And you don't have to continue to stay in therapy for the same thing over and over again.
Right.
So those are my two analogies for you.
Okay. Well, I just want to say, before we go any further, I want anyone listening into this podcast, if they have a comment about their own experiences or about other experiences, please call in. The number is 424-243-9540. And call in if you're listening to it live on Thursday night. Call in and press 1. That way, I'll know that you have a question. Because if you have a question about your own journey, your own dirty hamper, I like that. Yeah. That's a good analogy. It definitely describes what you're doing with people. And it's important to get to the bottom of that dirty laundry, to get new stuff out, to get old stuff that you've forgotten about.
And so can I tell you, we're not digging through this hamper. We're turning it upside down.
Yeah, because it's a slow, meticulous process. We're just turning it upside down, right?
We're just turning it upside down. Get down there and tell and think about what it is.
Okay.
There's a part in the Academy talking about Ground Zero. People love that one. It's a tough one. It's a tough week. But
Ground Zero.
And it's where. And it's where you actually address the reason why you needed to start healing in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we all have a reason.
That's the week we're turning
coming into it.
That's the week we're turning dirty clothes hampers upside down.
Okay. That's really good. So, you find then that there aren't, as you were saying at the very beginning of this episode, there aren't as many programs for males out there, but they need the help as much as women do for overcoming past stuff. And you're providing some of the programs for them. Do you suggest that they work together in groups of patients, for example?
So what I do is I do like a group of no more than 8. And the reason I do that is because, I mean, I do offer individuals, but I do cohorts. And the reason why I do that is because there's nothing more powerful than hearing from your peers that they've experienced something similar, even if it's different, because then you can hear from them how they may have handled it. It's easy for me to suggest how you handle something, right? But it hits a lot different when it comes from people who you consider to be your peers.
Okay.
And the hope is that you may not connect with everyone there, right? But the hope is you might connect with someone at the end of 13 or 52 weeks, and then you have what I like to call your Thrive Tribe, people that you can thrive with.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Because we all need some of that. Okay.
And we talk about that too. Like, we definitely talk about how to select the appropriate, and I do say, and I really mean appropriate people to be a part of your healing circle, is what I like to call it.
Okay.
Your healing community.
Yeah, because we all need different things in our healing communities.
Mm-hmm. And so we did, and we discuss in detail how to put that network together.
Okay, because I'm sure that can help the people in moving forward, too. I mean, knowing they have someone besides you that they can call late at night and say, you know, what about this, or I have this going on.
Mm-hmm. Or someone who understands where you're trying to go and will not be afraid to call you to the on the rug or the carpet, however you want to say it, when they see that you're going the opposite direction that you said that you wanted to go.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and you really can't do that being a therapist.
No.
Right. Yeah, there are limits to
okay, honestly, yeah, no, here's this. I can, because I coach people, right?
Yeah.
I'm coaching you through this process. I'm a very matter-of-fact kind of person. I'm a very, let's go put your big girl, big boy panties on, let's go. Like, this is what you said you want to do. Do you want to do this or do you not? Like, where are you at? Let's make a decision. And yes, you are going through this experience. I'm going to give you 24, no more than 48 hours to be here, because you can visit, but you can't unpack here. So what are we going to do next?
Okay.
Well, I said I'm not for everyone, but I'm okay with that.
Right. Yeah, we're all different, thank goodness, right?
Right.
Huh. Very interesting. So, do you think that most people have then had some kind of traumatic experience, but some people just automatically know how to deal with it, and they're the ones who don't come into therapy, but they've had their own share of traumatic experiences?
No, I think that we're all innate to survive.
Yeah.
And we go into survival mode, right? Because that's what we were survivors before we turned into embryos and fetuses, okay? You have to survive the fact that you are a foreign body in a place that is built to reject foreign bodies.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So the fact that you made that journey through there and you grew and then you came into this earth, you were born to survive. That's what you're made up of, survival.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So you figure it out. But a lot of times people will suppress it and say that they're okay. And then later it's going to pop up and they're going to be like, well, where the hell did this come from, right? Well, ma'am, sir. you kind of didn't deal with that. It's time for you to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So there will always be people who say, I'm fine, I do not need therapy. And if they can get through life and they are thriving, that's amazing, because there are some people who can do that.
Okay.
But somewhere along the way, they had a support system. They had something, someone in place that showed them how to thrive and how to be okay when things didn't go right, how to
make it through
past surviving to thriving. You see what I'm saying? There's something
in
place that helped them do well.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, some people just have a lot more supportive people in their background, in their nature, in their growing up than other people have.
Right. And that's the difference, too. The difference is, what is your support outside of the adverse environment? What did it look like?
Yeah,
some
don't.
Mm-hmm. So those people who have an experience and then they're able to say, you know what, this was my childhood, but I'm okay. They had a hell of a support system that pulled them through that and nurtured them through their situation.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. Some people might say, how can siblings grow up in the same home in the same environment and some come out one way, they just go far left, and some come out and they're doing just right? Look at the support system that each of those children in that environment had.
Yeah.
And that's going to answer your question.
Huh. Very interesting. Yeah. There's no, basically, we don't necessarily have any say in what kind of environment we're raised in. And the fact if we have help or not. But some people have it and don't think twice about it. Some people don't and really want it.
For me, I believe, although I grew up with a lot of emotional pain, it could have been worse if I did not have the support that I had outside of that home.
Uh-huh. Good.
I had aunties. I had other people who were there letting me know that it's okay and there is better.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have somebody putting that into you, even though you're in a situation you don't desire to be in, that implants and that fits, because you can see that there is better than what you're experiencing.
Okay. So it's like what you see as a possible conclusion or a possible future can influence how you feel right now during the process.
Right. And also somebody showing you that there is love. Let's say you're in a home full of domestic violence and physical abuse. And but you have people outside of that environment showing you love, showing you how to interact with people, showing you how to treat people, how people should be spoken to. You're receiving positive reinforcement, although you are in a negative environment. And that's very helpful.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on with people, isn't there?
Right.
Yeah, that's why we need people who delve into the trauma of it all. I mean, yeah, because it's amazing what a person goes through and how they deal with it. And that tells a lot about them and their environment, the way they're dealing with something that's going on in their life.
Mm-hmm. That's accurate.
Wow. The whole new way of looking at things, yeah. Because, I mean, I never thought about it growing up, but relatively, I had an extremely supportive family. So that helped to help my outlook on everything.
It does. It really does. When you have support. Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Oh, no, I'm listening.
No, I was just saying that, you know, I never really thought about it, but now when I talk to people sometimes, like, you grew up with that? How?
They're like, yep, and I'm still here.
Yeah, we all find a way of dealing with things, you know, depending on our circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
And like I said, it's a lifelong process.
Well, anything could be a lifelong process, right? When I hear people say healing is a lifelong process, that really makes people feel there is not going to be an end to what it is that they're going through, right?
That's true.
What I want people to know is you're going to always understand how to use your tools and skills when situations come up that are not desirable, right?
Yeah.
As you should, right? Because some people use very bad, not very bad. People use coping mechanisms that become a lifelong behavior that is not necessarily helpful, right?
Yeah.
Everything we do is lifelong in regards to taking care of our mental health. It doesn't, you will forever be aware of how you feel. The difference is, do you know how to get yourself back to a, keep yourself in a calm state when something happens that may touch a sore spot? Is everything going to fall apart? Right? There's a positive in understanding that for the rest of your life, you're going to know how to deal with emotional pain. That's not a negative. That's a very positive. It doesn't mean that it's something that you're going to face with every day.
You could
reach a level of thriving and not come into something for a couple of months or a year or a couple of years. But when it happens, for the rest of your life, you're going to remember how you healed from your last situation what you did to get there and how you're going to get there much faster with the new situation.
So does it
mean that you're healing forever? No. It just means that you forever know how to heal.
Okay. That's a better way of looking at it. Yeah.
When people say, people are like, oh, you people, we're going to be healing for the rest of our lives. No, you forever know how to heal. Like it's a dreary concept to think that, oh my God, for the rest of my life, I'm going to be trying to heal from something. And that in itself is discouraging to people. And the reason why some people don't even start.
Yeah.
Because they feel, if this is where I'm going to be for the rest of my life, I'm just going to leave it alone.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's like people are told, you know, not to come to chiropractors because, oh, you have to come the rest of your life. No, most people want to come the rest of their lives because they see how much it can help them deal with all the crap that comes up. Same thing for what you're doing.
Honestly, it's absolutely necessary. We do so much crap that throws our bodies out of alignment. We do things that we're not even supposed to be doing, let's be honest. Somebody got to put it back.
Yeah. Or mind or anything else.
Right.
Yeah.
Got to help.
Yeah, people are funny. It's like, no, I just want to take one pill and be healed for the rest of my life. It's not going to happen.
It's not. So, I mean, it's not. No, it's just not.
Yeah, you have to become resilient and know that, yeah, I can deal with it. I just have to learn how to best deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Whatever it is, you are absolutely right. Whatever it is, you will be forever prepared to handle whatever it is.
Yeah, there's always new it. You think, oh, that I can experience nothing new after that. Well, there will be something new. I mean, it's very...
There'll be something... Right. There'll be something new, but you'll know how to handle it.
Yes.
And that's... Something new is way better than dealing with the same thing for all of your life.
That's true. Very
you
true.
Need a reprieve somewhere.
So let it be something new.
Right.
Yeah, why not?
People get burned out on mental health because it's the same continuous thing. There's no reprieve. They don't see an end to what it is they're dealing with. And
right.
To me, that's unacceptable. Why would you not see an end to something that you're dealing with? That doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't compute.
Right. Right. It's true. And, you know, once you have the basic tools, you can deal with anything. And the old stuff won't be so bad anymore.
So, I mean, and the old stuff really won't be a factor anymore.
Right. Right. It will fade away and less important.
Yeah. I mean, and if it comes up, it's going to be fleeting. You know, you might have a thought about it, but you're not going to react the same.
Right. That's important to remember.
I put that out there because just because you're healed doesn't mean you have amnesia. You remember what you went through. You know, you don't forget it. You remember it because in some way or another, it shaped you into who you are right now. So you do remember it. The healed part is how you handle it.
Yeah. Okay. So the goal then is to get as many people as possible to learn how not to get in their own way.
Ma'am, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's hard.
How not to get in your own way. Absolutely.
Yeah, because we all have a seem to have a knack for doing that.
Yeah. and it becomes that is fear of the unknown or painful past learning. Last time this happened. So I don't know that I want to do that again. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it'll just find a new way to happen, though. You know, no matter what you do to try to prevent it, if it wants to happen, it's going to happen. You know?
What do you mean by that?
Well, people go through stuff, and no one's ever completely, you know, healed for the rest, like we were just talking about. No one's healed for the rest of their lives automatically. Something is going to happen. But the way you
well,
deal
here's
with
this. Here's this. That frame of thought definitely comes from people who are still in the need of healing, right? The expectation, the expectation that something is going to happen is
yeah.
that of someone who is in survivor mode, right? Because someone who's thriving and living their lives, they're not waiting and thinking, sheesh, something's going to happen. But what they are is prepared in the case that it does. So they're not thinking about it, but they have armed themselves with tools and skills to be able to handle that situation. But they're not thinking, dang, I can't get through my life without something going wrong, because that's not a true statement. When you
okay.
start doing self-reflection, you also start looking at your environment. This is why it's called healing from the inside out. Because after you self-reflect from the inside, you understand that if you want peace and healing, you understand what your external environment should look like.
Okay. Okay.
And so then you're not worried about the next wrong thing that could happen. You're just happy that if something were to happen, you are ready to deal with it.
Okay. And you can always call you if it turns out you're not ready, right?
Say that again?
The person can always call you if it turns out they're not ready.
They can. We can have a talk. Yes.
Yeah. So, Doctor, why don't you tell people how to get in touch with you in case anyone listens to this in the future and decides that they really need to start their own healing process?
Okay. You can find me at Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E-S. As in Sam Jackson, JACKSON.com. And you can also find me on social media at Dr. That's DR _ Nikki, NICKIE. And you can reach out to me via those avenues when you are ready to start your healing journey.
Okay, because it sounds like we all need healing from something at some point. It's just we have to decide we want it now to be a continuing process, right?
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, some people will say, I'm living my life just perfectly fine. And I've already processed, I've dealt with my past stuff, and I'm good to go, right? And they're good
yeah.
to go, right? As long as they're not hurting themselves or nobody else, they're good to go.
Yeah.
And so and that's okay.
Yeah,
so
that's
also, everybody has, although everybody has experienced some kind of trauma, whether firsthand or secondary, it doesn't always mean that they're going to need to sit on somebody's couch or go through somebody's coaching program. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we all have different ways of dealing with it.
The ones who know that they do. What if I didn't hear that? Can you repeat?
Well, because we all have our own ways of dealing with it, depending on the people in our lives, our experiences, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Accurate.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of stuff going on. The world was made a very interesting way, wasn't it?
It sure was. Absolutely was.
Okay, so why don't you talk about just some experiences that you've had in your coaching?
Such as?
Well, I mean, like something you said or whatever that was really insightful, was really made a real revelation to somebody. There was a different way of looking at it.
I'm gonna leave you with this one right here. So if you don't see it different, I don't know what to do. But spoken words heal faster than swallowed emotion.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
And that hits different for everyone who hears it.
Yeah. And I do think that it is important because we can't sit silently because you're always thinking. You can't help it. And something's going to hit you from each and every experience and interaction you have.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that leads me to suppression is the killer of healing, because when you don't speak it, you swallow your emotions, and then here we go again.
Hmm. Yeah.
So
that's not necessarily good for a person.
Nope, not at all.
Because it will come out later in some way.
When you least expect it.
Yeah. Like these mass shooters in elementary schools. I mean, they clearly had something going on in their past.
It's possible.
What's that?
I said it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people in mental hospitals, you find out that they went through all this stuff, you know. Whether they're their fault or somebody else, but they usually have a history that leads up to the conclusion that we all see.
That is so accurate. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Okay, well, I appear to heal a little from this session, so other people do as well. You told people how to reach you, and where do you practice for those who want to see you in person?
So right now I am only doing tele coaching right now.
Oh, okay.
So
it could be anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere. Anywhere.
Okay.
But I am located in California. So when I eventually start going in person, people in California can definitely reach out. Or if you want to travel to California, that's up to you too.
Yeah. Well, if you haven't seen California, you need to see it. But I grew up on the East Coast. I never realized how wonderful it was out west.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. A little bit of a desert, but, you know.
Depending on where you go, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, now I'm sitting here in Arizona talking about desert, so whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, so California has advantages. Heck, I mean, sometimes all the healing somebody needs is a change of scenery.
Yes, that'd do. That would help out a lot. That's a start. That is a start, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, like, just get up and pick up and move and see what happens. Yeah. I think I'll stay in California, though. I have no desire to go anywhere else now. Okay. Okay, I don't know if we have anything to talk about now, unless you have a note that you want to end on.
I just want to let you guys know, just keep thriving. Keep thriving.
Okay, well, thank you very much for talking to me, Dr. Nicole. It was really fun.
Oh, absolutely.
Learned a lot.
I had a good time. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye now.